I look for databases to give me context and give me comparisons. And I look for databases or documents to give me a single tip, to give me a lead, to give me the best question I can ask, which goes to what Paul does. He starts off with a good question, and from there leads an investigation. Which databases? There are obvious international databases that are out there. I'll point out a few of them. Of course, the World Health Organization, World Trade Organization, even with World or Global. But there is a lot of information in United States databases. It's very accessible online, easy to get to, free of charge, and tells people a lot of things about what's going on in their own country, especially if it's not the U.S. We're much more secretive about the U.S., of course, than we are about anybody else. And we like to look at other journalist databases. Journalists all over the world now are putting together great databases that can be really inspiring for putting together your own database, aggregating your own information, but also helpful on any kind of story you're working on. And of course, you can create your own. I'm just going to pop through a few of the links that are out there. What I want to point out right away, though, is none of us have to reinvent the wheel at this point. There are a lot of journalists who have put together what we call good tip sheets that list some of the most reliable places to go to, the most credible places to get information for. So we don't have to go at this too much. I always like to ask a question or two. How many people here have ever used the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission Edgar database? Has anyone used that? Okay. It is a great database to research any multinational company, in which all major ones are. And so if you were to type in something like Halliburton, which is often in the news, it seems no matter what, you could go and get all its filings that go with the Securities Exchange Commission. You could search for keywords such as corruption or litigation or oil drilling, and all sorts of things would appear. And this is from the company itself. There are many other databases here, but this is one of the best ones to use, if at all possible, if you're working on any multinational corporation. What they have to file is just a treasure trove. I spoke a little bit about journalists putting together databases, aggregating them, making them easier to use. And we'll see if this one will come up. Hopefully it will. The UGMA project is a really interesting project because it's going to involved databases from many countries. It started as a project, as you can see, for investigative reporting for Africa. But the concept, and it's with a former colleague of mine, Ron Nixon, who's now at the New York Times, his concept was when he travels around and he reports or he does training, as I do, we're constantly finding databases that can apply to every country. And Ron wants to make things easy for people. And to research, so one EU database he grabbed for Africa, and this is going to go totally global in the coming year. The Center for Public Integrity has gotten some money from here to help put this together from this country. And so you could go through here and look and see if there is any funding out of this particular database, and you could go ahead and find out where their other activities might be and what they're doing there and when this particular kind of money came up. What's really handy here, let's see if I can go back, is that once again, there are these great U.S. databases, and ones that Ron was looking at is doing this as a pilot project, is weapon sales by countries to Africa, USAID money going in, lobbying money, who's lobbying for which African country in U.S. Congress. So this is the kind of thing that we really like to research and see if we can, is who's putting these projects together. I mentioned tip sheets, and long after I'm gone, if you join IRE, you know somebody who's a member, there's a great thing called the Resource Center. And people speak at conferences and workshops like this, and they do tip sheets, and they've been cataloged for years and years. I ran IRE for a while, and it was a pleasure running it because I kept learning things all the time on these tip sheets. So if you were looking for tip sheets, and say your keyword might be international, might get back a number of tip sheets that have gone out, and if you're a member or know somebody, you can actually click on these tip sheets and download them on whatever topic the speaker had spoken about. And you can get a PDF or a document file instantly. So I never help anyone or start a story myself without looking at these tip sheets to see what resources are already out there. There's also the Global Investigative News Network, which had the Global Investigative Journalism Network, which had a conference here in 2005. That's another place that you can go. I'll just show you this very quickly. This is a site we're still working on and building, but I think it's starting to come together. And we recently had a conference, despite the volcanic ash, of more than 500 journalists in Geneva. We'll see if this comes up anytime soon. It doesn't look like that. In addition, while we're waiting to see if this one cooks, there are regional networks of journalists that you can go and see in Africa, Brazil, and all over the world. A lot of nonprofit investigative journalism started up around the world, and especially since 2003. This is showing the locations of nonprofit investigative organizations you can get in touch with if you're working on a story that might touch another country. There's also a network of journalists who are on something called Global L, a listserv you can get onto. Listservs are old-fashioned, but still can be useful. And then, right now, with oil spills, climate change, and so forth, there's a terrific nonprofit organization that shares data on environmental stuff. Does anyone belong to the Society for Environmental Journalists here? Yeah, I highly recommend that, given what we're going through right now. The conversations among environmental journalists covering any of these major issues are just fascinating, full of resources, full of ideas, full of ways to localize or globalize almost any story. And I'll do a couple more here. Of course, the United Nations has a lot of data, a lot of documents. None of us ever really take a good look at. So I'm not even gonna bother tapping on that because you can go and research it all yourself. That's the great thing about talking to journalists. They'll go do all the work. Now, here's an odd one. But I recommend these kinds of professional organizations you can be a part of, or organizations to take a look at joining, or at least monitoring. And I love this group. It's called, I've been to one of the conferences. It's called the International Network for Social Network Analysis. And these are people from almost every kind of discipline, anthropologists, people studying ancestry, people studying interlocking board of directors of corporations. They're basically the connecting the dot people. I highly recommend their conferences because even though the conference can be a little dull at times, they go to great places to party and have a lot of fun, which may be why some of the panels are a little more dull. They seem to do it before. I was in New Orleans, and apparently they went down there for Mardi Gras. This was before the flood. And that conference, people's energy levels were up and down. But absolutely fascinating, full of tremendous ideas, and extraordinarily visual about everything. If I have enough time, I'll show you how this later. Okay. So let's go just a little bit more. Does anybody follow the official Google blog? Has anyone seen that? They've been working on something called the Public Data Explorer. And of course, correlation is not cause, but they are having a great time with all the resources they have, visualizing things about data over time. This particular one, if you look on the left side, it's a number of children a woman might have from countries all over the world. So this is a good comparison database. And at the bottom of it is the life expectancy of birth in total years. But one of the most fascinating things we can do visually now is show change over time. After all, that's what we are. We're journalists. We love to do that. So this one, if you're down in the corner, you have fewer children and you live longer. That's pretty much what the conclusion is. But let's see what happened over the last century. Now, that big one there is China. I'll